Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey now, Semper Fi. Welcome into this Wednesday edition of Sports Talk. Lots to get to. Along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, I'm Christian Garrick. Tim Zimmer at Master Control. Here till 8 o'clock tonight. So many things to uncover here and talk about. Joe Oliva resigning as the athletic director for LSU. He's going to transition into a new role. LSU and Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics Joe Oliva today announced that he is stepping down from his current position and is transitioning to a new role as Special Assistant to the President for Donor Relations. That according to a release from LSU. Coming up on the program tonight, David Griffin, Pelicans President of Basketball Operations, will join us at 4:35. The guy sounds like he means business. You heard there in the Sports Flash with Mark Menard. Our entire NFL draft coverage starts at 5 o'clock with Mike Dettillier as we preview the draft next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll have Mike from 5 to 6 p.m. Former Saints tight end Ben Watson at 6:20, rebuilding some churches. Also, NFL schedule release tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have it for you with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, our pros, the Cannon, Zach Strief, the voice of the Saints, and Deuce McAllister. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, Joe Oliva resigned as the athletic director of LSU. Disappointed or happy trails? You welcome a new change. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Do you like the change, the decision for Joe Oliva to step down as the athletic director? Look, had some success during his tenure. LSU captured 18 Southeastern Conference titles individually, and LSU produced 48 individual NCAA championships in sports of men's and women's track and field, gymnastics, men's and women's golf. The Tigers are also claimed 124 individual SEC championships during Oliva's term as the athletic director. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, settling in here, and lots to get to a little later on as the schedule comes out. Also, like I mentioned, David Griffin. But when you look at Joe Oliva, it comes down to ultimately not having enough support for the folks that run the program. And what I mean by run the program, the ones that donate to the athletics of LSU, the boosters, etc. Bobby, it's all about the dead presidents, and they weren't getting enough donations. When guys and gals ultimately start saying, hey, we don't like the direction, so we're going to pull back the purse strings a little bit, a little politics gets involved, and out you go.
Well, politics are going to always be involved in Louisiana sports. It's just the way it is, and the big donors, and they have a lot of power, a lot of pull, and involved in decisions. But Christian, I think it was just Scott was just showing me just a breaking news that I think Joe Oliva is not going anywhere.
I just talked about it. He's transitioning to a new role, and that role is going to be Special Assistant to the President for Donor Relations.
Well, okay. I thought maybe the donors wanted a different AD, so now you got to communicate and deal with those donors. Because I always thought they viewed Joe Oliva as kind of a carpetbagger, kind of an outsider, you know, coming from Duke versus, the speculation is going to be who's going to be the new AD, more local ties. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, from A&M, Texas A&M. And for him to still be involved, dealing with donations and that I don't quite.
You're talking about Scott Woodward from Texas A&M, by the way.
Yeah.
From Baton Rouge.
Yeah, so the local ties there. I don't know what the buyout with Joe Oliva, or now they wanting him to earn his money before he eventually would leave. My understanding, I thought maybe it was like $1 million buyout or something.
Roughly.
Yeah, roughly. So, Christian, I thought they would just cut bait and he would not necessarily still be around.
This is not so much about the Will Wade, the handling thereof, and the suspension, but I think Les Miles missing on Jimbo Fisher. Well, he wanted to get rid of Les Miles, didn't happen. And then when he did finally get rid of Les Miles, His big target, his big fish was Jimbo Fisher. That didn't happen. He stayed at Florida State and subsequently moved on to Texas A&M. So I think that soured a lot of donors.
Well, but Christian, if you're athletic, it's not like you're the football director. If you, I think, an athletic director, that's why that I just looked at, and it's always behind the scenes as far as from a financial standpoint. That's why I always viewed, you look at LSU's programs. Have they ever, across the board, have they ever been this prosperous as far as different sport teams being ranked and being relevant? So that's why it's not like you're the athletic director, you're not the football director. So I don't know. I just look at it face value, and that's kind of puzzling. That's why I always bring it back to that if you have people with a lot of stroke and a lot of money and they're giving a lot to university, they have a lot of say-so. It might, you know, LSU probably would never admit that. F. King Alexander, they would probably never acknowledge that. But come on, it's all about, the Benjamins, the money, as far as what you put in the program and you want your say-so or your involvement without totally letting the people with the money run the school. But that has a lot to do with it going forward, I think, when you're supporting university in different areas, and obviously you want to say so.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Coming up tonight at 7 as the Saints and the NFL release the schedule, we will have all our pros, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Zach Strief, breaking down the twists and turns and the ebbs and flows of the Saints' schedule. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Joe Oliva resigned as the athletic director for LSU. Disappointed or happy trails? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is WWL. Tim Zimmer at Master Control brought up a good point. One national championship in the big three sports in the last 10 years for LSU, and that came in baseball in 2009. Hasn't happened in football since 2007. Basketball, I can't tell you the last time. I'd have to go diving into the record books. But that played a factor, I'm sure, in Joe Oliva stepping down as the AD. What I can't understand, though, is, Bobby, I mean, he's going to take another position within the school. If you really weren't that pleased
with
him.
To deal with the donors. And
if you weren't that pleased with him, then why are you kind of handling him with kid gloves?
Instead of just buying them out and making them maybe work for his money, instead of just out and out buying them out.
I mean, the buyout's $1 million. $1 million to LSU.
Well, make them work for that million. I don't know. Make them do something.
It just seems to me that they're kind of I would expect that this was a highly successful athletic director where you'd see an unprecedented success in your athletic program during his time in 11 years as the AD. Then you might give him an easy way out. You might give him a soft, hey, here we're going to put you out to pasture, kind of be, handle you with kid gloves, and we appreciate your service. But, I mean, Joe Oliva, by and large, hasn't done a whole lot right as the athletic director.
Well, but when you look at all right now, the winners have been better in LSU's history as far as all the sports programs and where they're ranked and are they relevant. Now, you might say it's all about winning national championships. Come on, are you being realistic? I mean, yeah, you might say in theory you want to be national champs. Don't you think they want to be national champs at University of Texas? Or I'm just looking at the big dogs or whatever. You look who have the resources, whether like University of Michigan. So you can go across USC, you can go across the board. So I think it's more that the big donors, the big money people involved, if they don't necessarily want you in there, and you're not able to communicate with them or have those skills, because, when those big donors want to have a meeting with you, you got to be able to communicate with them and have a meeting with them. So that's almost like a politician. You can't blow them off, and I'm not saying that occurred. I'm just speculating then, when you have the right personality to be able to deal with the people involved in LSU. Because you can't just be pure sports. You got to be an extrovert. You can't be an introvert. It's all about communication and continuously selling yourself. So maybe I think that's where the problem could have been at times, dealing with the big donors in the direction maybe they thought. Because you have to appease those guys who are putting a lot of money into LSU and make them always feel that the university is heading in the right direction as far as the athletic department. Like, I would say, as of late, considering the past success, like the women's basketball program. I mean, you know, how does she still have a job? You know, like considering the lack of success there. So you can go through all the different sports where you look at women's gymnastics is the best of the best. Indeed, bro. So you look at that. So to me, I think it's more behind the scenes in the politics of LSU than just LSU sports programs. Basically, they suck and they're not in contention, because that's not the case.
Yeah, it's a little political, that's for sure, when it comes to this state and athletics. They kind of mix quite a bit. Joe Oliva resigned as the athletic director for LSU. Are you disappointed? Or are you saying happy trails? That's our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Call us at 504-260-1870. Text 87870. Bobby, before the official schedule comes out, how many primetime games do you think the Saints will end up with?
I would say for sure, because they're so relevant, it's always three. I'd say probably four is a good number.
That's what we talked about last night. That's what we speculated.
Yeah, more than that, then you got to kind of share the wealth as far as on a national stage. But I would say, without question, three, but I'd say more realistic would be four, because the Saints are that relevant.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 87870. Joe Oliva out as the athletic director of LSU. He stepped down. He's taking on another role within the school as a president, assistant, a special assistant to the president for donor relations.
So what does that mean? I don't know. Some
it sounds like
fans.
a made up title.
Yeah, I don't know. Call in and explain that to me, because that seems like a bunch of BS to me.
I can't help but think they're just kind of doing what you said. Ultimately, hey, they don't want to pay him, so earn your money somehow, some way.
Yes, stay involved and you know, you got to come to work and just do your job or whatever that might be. I mean, there's a lot of people, Christian, if you had a buyout for $1 million, and I don't know if that's the exact number or if it's around there, instead of just out and out buy you out, if just think the fans, or somebody would tell you that all of a sudden you got humbled a little bit and you're not in charge and you got to do this and that, but you're still going to get $1 million. What? Hell yeah.
He's getting $725 plus incentives based on the success of the programs.
Well, even $725. Come on, you got to check your ego at the door, and you got to humble yourself and just weather the storm and do what it takes, and you move on after that, because you're still on the contract, and that'd be a pretty nice payout. And as far as a PR job going forward, to be involved with LSU, and then after your contract's over and you go do what you want to do, he can't poo-poo that as far as if that's what they want him to do, and as far as being involved with the donors. I don't know. It might help develop his skill set in the future dealing with people or different personalities.
Newly appointed New Orleans Pelicans executive director of executive vice president of basketball operations, David Griffin, will join us in about 8 minutes. He announced earlier today that he will keep Alvin Gentry as the head coach of the Pels. Do you like the decision? 504-260-1870. And Bobby, once again, we talked about the familiarity between David Griffin and Alvin Gentry going back to their days earlier in the NBA. But also, he's under contract for another year as well.
Yeah, Christian, they go back, and we can elaborate on that with Phoenix. And, you know, you look at David Griffin.
Do you need to get that?
Was that? Oh, I know. I forgot the tune. Can you hear that?
Yes.
There?
Do you need to grab that? Is that important?
Yeah.
Let's look at it. Let's see how important it is.
Because
if you were in a meeting, an NFL meeting,
it's
you'd be fine
son,
right
Bo.
Now.
It's my son.
Bo knows you're on the air right now.
I know. That's it. I'm gonna chew him out. I know, but I think it's dealing with his grandma and grandpa.
Oh, okay. Well, that's important.
You know, for the Easter weekend. T-Bob's having a crawfish ball.
Okay.
On Good Friday. Friday, so we're going out there. So, I mean, I don't know. Spreading.
But what if you were in an offensive meeting room? How much would that fine be? How much would Mora fine you?
Put it this way. I remember we didn't even have, like, cell phones in an offensive meeting room.
That's true.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that.
You think late 80s.
I'm thinking about Zach
that.
And Deuce.
Yeah, we didn't have that.
Okay, but like flat
tire. You
still
had pay phones and stuff. Oh, no, flat tire. You got to get a flat tire on your own time. No excuse. Had a flat tire in the causeway one time, and so I was late. And so Coach Mara basically told me, you got to plan for a flat tire.
You got to plan.
End up being like,
that sounds like a Marine.
10 minutes late for the meeting. It was like, let's say it was at 9. I got there. It was like 9:08 or 9:10. Yeah, it was about, you're late. I want to say it was about like, and then it adds up, it was about like a $5,000 flat tire, a fine. you know, for being late. And that's what I said. Well, I got a flat tire. He goes, yeah, that's what they all say. He said, you got to get a flat tire on your own time. And then you got to plan for a flat tire. So you got to leave extra early. So if you got a flat tire, you can fix it and still be on time for the meeting. But that only happened, that I took me once in 15 years. So that's not too bad.
I've never used a flat tire excuse in any of my jobs.
But what if you really had a
flat tire? No, I'm with you. I'm just saying I've never used it.
I heard Andre Rison in Atlanta, he used the flat tire thing 3 or 4 times.
Oh, yeah? What did June say?
Huh? He said, no, you told me that 2 weeks ago. You didn't have that flat tire.
Be more creative?
Or have to meet with my lawyer. No, you got to meet with your lawyer in your own time.
Right.
You know. Sorry. No, it was that was constant. A good thing he could play. I mean,
so when we go to the news, you're going to call Bo, but you're going to remind him, hey, you know, I'm on the air at 4:20.
Yeah, but it's my fault not having it on vibrate instead of. I don't know
how to do that with your smartphone?
Come on, Chris.
I'm just making sure. You know?
Of course I know how to do that, but. You know, going back to Joe Oliva, Christian, it's amazing. And, you know, people in power and you have an opportunity. It wasn't like he had a clean slate. If you even go back to how he handled the Duke situation with the lacrosse team.
Yeah.
They were guilty just because it looked that way and kind of jumped the gun on that. So it's not like. I don't know. Someone might be correct. Did Joe Oliva ever win Athletic Director of the Year? Like, I don't think so, huh?
I think his time here with LSU in 11 years was average at best. I think the fans
who
looked at it.
Who hired Joe Oliva? Was it Skip Bertman? Who hired him?
Well, I think the president.
Well, I mean, who's president, on that committee?
The president and the board. Board of Regents.
Well.
Skip Bertman didn't hire Joe Oliva. Skip Bertman was
the AD before. Did he recommend it?
Possibly.
Some, yeah, I mean.
I got to go back and recall history
you,
a little
like,
bit.
When you, like, pass the torch, you know.
David Griffin, New Orleans Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, next here after our CBS and local news headlines on WWL. Timmy hitting us with the basketball music. Shortly joined by New Orleans Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin, at @DG_Riff on Twitter. The new president of basketball operations, Bobby, and hearing him speak earlier at the press conference, he sounds like this is a no-nonsense kind of guy and vastly different from maybe anybody the Pelicans have ever had before as their top guy.
Well, and you might say, what is the connection with Coach Gentry? This goes back, my understanding, to the Phoenix Suns days. You know what's interesting? David Griffin, if you read just his background, he was born in Phoenix. He went to Arizona State. He graduated with a degree in political science. So, you know, when you think about that, he graduated in political science and look where he is today. But he started with the Suns as an intern back in 1993, and he was still a student at Arizona State at the time. And then when he left the Suns, by the time he left the Suns, he was a senior vice president of basketball operations.
Whoa.
So went from an intern to senior vice president of basketball operations. You look at 97. He moved over to start working on the basketball side of things in the video department. And then he worked his way up, like we were saying, to senior vice president of basketball operations. Then he left the team in 2010 when Steve Kerr, we all know that name, left as the general manager. So he's been around very knowledgeable people and smart people take advantage of their opportunities. And I think that's what David Griffin has done. And the proof's in the pudding when he had to wheel and deal, you know, when he got to Cleveland and all of a sudden the roster that he had to tweak, the first championship that Cleveland had in 52 years when the Cavaliers won the title in 2016. I think his relationship made sense and it was essential to build the team and the relationship that he had with King James, with LeBron James. And having to tweak the roster. We all know the Kevin Love trade when you're having to win now. You know, and that's something he's going to have to pull some magic, you know, pardon the pun, so to speak, but he's going to have to do that with coming up with AD. And can you feel like you come out of this that you really got the value and that you're going to win that situation or take advantage of an opportunity.
All right, he's on the line with us right now, New Orleans Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin. David, thanks so much for the time and congratulations once again.
Thank you so much, fellas. Glad to be with you and appreciate it.
You bet. So let's start with, I think I got this right, that Alvin Gentry, you're comfortable with him remaining on as the head coach?
Yeah, 100%. Not comfortable. I was excited about it. Alvin and I have a pretty long history together. I think we have the ability to challenge each other in meaningful ways, and his presence here was definitely an attraction for me.
Now, David, when you talk about challenges and always pushing the right buttons, when you were with Cleveland and, you know, LeBron James coming back in the fold and you pull the trigger, all of a sudden you have Wiggins in the draft pick and you send him to the T-Wolves and you're able to get a Kevin Love. Just talk about that aspect, that challenge versus what you'll be facing now with Anthony Davis going forward and getting the value that you expect.
Yeah, Bobby, I think the one thing from an Anthony Davis perspective that matters to me is just that, you know, we want everybody here to be all the way in. And I have some reason to believe that there's an openness to the possibility that he is. And without any knowledge beyond that, I'm going to absolutely make visiting with him a priority and sharing the vision we have of the franchise. And I think there's a level of trust with he and his agent that maybe didn't exist previously, which is not at all a shot at the previous regime. It's just they don't have the same level of history together that we have. So I'm optimistic that there's a conversation that can be had there. And if everybody feels good about moving forward in the manner in which we need to, then I'm excited about it.
David, AD said at the end of the season that whoever the new general manager is or president of operations, he wants to talk to him. He expressed a willingness to at least entertain the idea of sticking around. What would be your pitch to him as to keeping AD here and also ensuring that, hey, you guys are going to build a winner around him?
Well, I think really the question is what's your goal set as a player? What's your vision for your career? And does that match with what our goal set is? And if we're like-minded about what we're trying to achieve together, then it's a natural you stay together. And if you have a goal set that's beyond that which we concern ourselves with, which is only winning and building this thing the right way, then that's not something we can help you with. So the first question is really, how do I help you? You know, where do you need to express your greatness and in what ways? And hopefully that aligns with our philosophies, because this isn't something where you can have flexibility or ambiguity with. You've got to be very clear about this is how the Pelicans are going to run as an operation, and this is where we see you fitting in it, and hopefully those things match up.
Now, David, you know, players say they want to be somewhere where they can win a championship. Now, with all your experience in the NBA and your affiliation, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've kind of compared. I said, I don't know. To me, it's not like the NFL. I'm not saying it's unrealistic because I look at the market of San Antonio and what Pop has done there to win championships. But I said, there's no reason why the Pelicans could not be like when Jerry West with the Memphis Grizzlies. It seems like for a decade, they're always in the thick of things, in the hunt, never really won anything. But what are the challenges, though, when you're in a smaller market versus when you got key players that could kind of try and maybe get together? And, you know, it's mind-boggling right now. It's kind of embarrassing for the NBA in a sense where you look where the Lakers and the Knicks are at in those markets. But are you optimistic that you realistically could win a championship in New Orleans?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's news to all the small markets that have already won championships that it can't be done. I mean, the San Antonio market's not significantly different than this one.
Right.
And in national TV ratings, New Orleans NBA fans have a greater share of market than the Spurs do. So from that perspective, I think this is a market that wants to be crazy about this basketball team, and we can play on that a little bit. We won a championship in Cleveland. It's a smaller market. And it's something I think where it becomes a very lazy person's out to say that you can't win in a small market, because there are challenges in winning in a smaller market. And the first one of those, as you know, is we have to be about something. We're going to try to build something that attracts like-minded energy. And if you don't want to go about it the way we're going to go about it, then we're not going to be super sexy, but we're going to be overly substantive, and that will eventually recruit itself. It may not recruit the biggest names, but it'll recruit the right names.
David Griffin, New Orleans Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations here on Sports Talk. And David, have you met with AD yet or no?
No, I've spoken to Rich Paul, and I have not sat down with AD, and we do have a plan in place to sit down face-to-face and sort of get to know one another and what our goals are.
Would you mind sharing if there's a timeline on that and when that might occur?
Not really. I wouldn't be comfortable doing that. I don't really want this to be something that plays out publicly. But once we have that conversation, if the next step is we're all going to march together in lockstep, you'll know that. And if the next step is we're not, you'll probably know that too. And I hope the way you know that is we've acted on some other deal and you never heard anything about it. Or he comes out and says he can't wait for training camp.
Now, David, what made the Pelicans so attractive to you? Because you had other opportunities. You always on the top of that list for GMs across the board throughout the NBA. You even doing NBA TV until an outstanding job on Sirius until you had the right fit. What made New Orleans such a right fit? Was it the ownership or a combination of things? Just elaborate on that.
Yeah, it was definitely a combination of things, but it started with, and really hinged for me upon Mrs. Benson and her ownership team. When we met here at the facility, it was really something where I was taken by her vision, her sincerity and sort of comfort as her in her sort of authentic self. She's somebody that's really going to be important to this and the way we build this and family being at the root of what we believe in doing. I think she's going to speak to families in a very profound way. And her group was really, really on board with everything that we hope to achieve. You know, and I said in the press conference that my wife and I have talked about this for years. You know, the process really is we have to find our owner, the person who we can share a vision with and a dream together. And I think Mrs. Benson and I very clearly are on that page.
David, what's your favorite thing so far about New Orleans outside off the basketball court, your limited time here in New Orleans?
Well, it's funny, actually. So I talked about it. I came here for the first time when I was 14, and the food scene was something that spoke to me as a young kid really, really clearly. I was the son of a single mother waitress, and the most exciting moments in my life were dinners at Pascal's Manali and Commander's Palace with a friend's family. I felt like I was living the right way, and everything that I knew of culture in terms of the music and the city and the people really revolved around New Orleans for a lot of my adult life. So every time I've been able to come back from an NBA perspective, I've taken staff members to places and shared it with them. And it's something where my affection for the marketplace is pretty dyed in the wool since I was a kid.
And, David, you know how you develop as a person and you hit with adversity. It's all part of building your character. Just talk about also the three bouts you've had with cancer and where you're at now. That had to help humble you and keep things in perspective and also to rise above that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't know where the three bouts came from. So I had two bouts, and in 2011 I went through chemo in 2011, and in July of 2011 they called me cancer free, and I've gone through all of the different follow-up things. But I'll tell you, it's really interesting what happens when you go through something like that. I would have told you that I was probably too much of a people pleaser at one time in my life, and I cared immeasurably what other people think. And you go through something like that, you find your authentic self and you find your underlying grit and toughness. And I'm not here to be liked.
Right.
And I think what I realize is there's a right way to do these things, and conviction matters more than anything else.
David, if you could talk to the fans, what would you like to tell them about your vision and what you see as the direction of the New Orleans Pelicans going forward?
Well, we certainly tried to do that today, and you know, we're here to compete. This isn't something where we're going to undergo a prolonged rebuild. We're not trying to reset. We want to augment the group and get better every day. And if AD wants to be part of that, we very much hope he is. But the reality of the situation is our job is to get a little bit better every day. Team building is not binary. We don't have to be terrible and play through the draft in order to land meaningful players and build a team that represents the ethos of the city. We're going to do that on our own. We're going to get people that are of the right mindset and then that are grinders. I mean, this is, again, there are some sexy aspects of the city, but this is a place where the Saints have won championships. They've won at a really high level because they've got grinders. And we're going to do something very similar to what we did in Cleveland and build a team that reflects the energy and the spirit of the fans.
Now, David, you're still obviously in the part of the evaluation and the talent. You know, everyone's focused on Anthony Davis and what's going to come about there. But when you look at the roster, and listen, you evaluate players. You did it as a commentator from a media perspective, from all different aspects. What is your take on Drew Holiday? To me, he's one of those unsung heroes, possibly in the conversation to be in the top five, maybe top three two-way guards. I mean, are you a big Drew Holiday fan as far as him being part of the future?
I am. I think he's one of the most underrated guards in the league, not just as a two-way guard, but culturally. Drew's everything we want to be about as a franchise because he's as committed to this situation as any of us, and he's somebody who wants to win, and he competes night in and night out at a really high level, and those are the types of players that speak to us very deeply. He understands who he is as a player, and he wants badly to win at the highest level, and he wants to do it here in New Orleans.
David Griffin, New Orleans Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, thanks a bunch for carving out some time with us, and good luck, David.
Thanks so much, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
All right, this is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com.
There's a lot of wisdom there.
Bruce Feldman is reporting of ESPN. Scott Woodward is expected to leave Texas A&M to be the LSU athletic director. Joe Oliva has stepped down as the AD. He's moved into a different role with LSU. Also, we just had David Griffin on. New Orleans Pelicans Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations.
Yeah, I guess with
pretty
Joe
impressive.
Oliva, yeah, what Joe Oliva is going to do now, he's working with the donors. He'll probably be a PR guy, show up with the crawfish balls and, you know, different things. You know, you got fundraisers all the time, and you kind of, hey, and you meet and greet and shake hands and all that, pat people on their back. And
I like David Griffin, what I heard there. I mean, he's a business guy. And look, I was encouraged by the fact
that a lot of wisdom.
I was encouraged by the fact that he's not totally sold on the idea that he has to trade Anthony Davis.
Right. And the thing is, what I like and what I like about the ownership, Ms. Gale, and the whole Pelicans organization, because you got to say Saints, Pelicans, and everyone involved, is that here you got a guy with a lot of skins on the wall. Right, Christian? Okay, you look at the skins. And then what did he say? He was most impressed with the ownership. David Griffin, way more than the Lakers and the bus debacle, the bus family, when you're dealing with that.
And Alvin Gentry being here.
And Christian, I'm telling you, this is like we didn't settle. You know, you talk about settling and like, okay, our first choice is this and it didn't work out. Then we go to our second choice. Well, that didn't quite work out. Then you may be on your third individual that you wanted to come on board. No. David Griffin has turned down NBA executive jobs. I want to say for sure two, if not three. Christian, he was just waiting in the wings. He's highly thought of, and he's evaluating the NBA. And he did an outstanding job on Sirius. I want to say it was NBA TV, and just waiting for the right opportunity. So, no, everyone thinks there's not one person, and me being a casual basketball fan and observer, I don't think I've heard one person say, boy, the Pelicans screwed up hard David Griffin.
Right. The reviews nationally have been outstanding.
Christian, it's been 100% it was the right guy. Not like 50-50 or 70-80. No, like 100% the Pelicans got the right GM, the right individual.
Rick and Harvey, what's going on, Rick? You're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, as far as Joe Oliva leaving, I say good riddance, really. You know, I don't see anything the guy's done. I think he might have been probably responsible for us leaving, losing Nick Saban. And on top of that, he never did anything for the program to put together something that would challenge Alabama even. So...
He wasn't necessarily – I mean, when Nick Saban took the job at Alabama, he wasn't the AD.
Yeah, Well, I understand that, but he still hasn't done nothing.
But he's still going to get blamed, Christian.
No, I know. I'm fine with that. He's the AD. He's got to hold his feet to the fire.
Yeah, so really, I don't see anything the guy's done. So
I mean, he inherited Les Miles. He inherited Paul Maneri. He hired Will Wade. He hired Coach O. Yeah. All right. After missing on, he also hired Trent Johnson. He also missed on Jimbo Fisher. So I think that's what soured Joe Oliva with the donors. And that's what it's powered by. Make no mistake about it. LSU has a lot of money, but they're powered by rich donors, alumni.
I hear you. But they, well, if you're part of the clique, you get a promotion.
Well, but Christian, they have a lot of programs that have a lot of money.
Look at Texas.
Texas A&M. Texas A&M got way more, a lot more money than LSU. Texas does too. Now, you got to keep up with the Joneses. And people who are putting a lot of money in the program, they have a lot of say-so what direction they want to go to.
NFL draft a little more than a week away. Mike Dettillier for the entire 5 o'clock hour next here on WWLAMFM.com. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Don't miss it. Bobby Hebert, Zach Streif, Deuce McAllister. We'll break down the Saints 2019 regular season schedule. This is Saints Radio, WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.